This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Callie Crossley. Now that medical marijuana is legal in Massachusetts, it's created what many are calling a green rush, opening up the doors for people to get into the business of supply and demand. But how does one break into this industry? Logistical and legal procedures people need to follow. Joining me in Studio 3 to dig into these questions is Jig Patel. He's a partner at DispensaryPermits.com, a medical marijuana consulting firm. Jig, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me here.
So first we got to talk about what is a medical marijuana consulting firm?
Pretty much we help individuals that want to get into the industry, help them enter into it, cross some barriers, because this is not only new to the state, but very new to the Northeast area. And people want to get into it, but they don't know how. So we help them all aspects of entering into the industry, either applying for their dispensary permits or cultivation permits, possibly opening a hydro store, or even helping them develop their evaluation centers to see patients, to give out the certifications to get medical-grade marijuana. Pretty much the whole vertical integration.
And so now you have just thrown out a lot of terms that people are thinking, what is that all about? So let's sort of go back over and break it down. First, something that just I need to remind people that though the law passed is in January 1st, the regulations in Massachusetts are still being developed. So the Massachusetts Department of Health and some other organizations are meeting to try to figure out how dispensaries such as the ones you might advise will be able to operate within the guidelines of the law. And you articulated a few things. So, you know, cultivation is clearly growing it if you need to. And right now the law allows, while we're in this limbo period, for people to grow their own, patients and caregivers, a 60-day supply, which some people how you determine what that is exactly, nobody is quite sure. It's safe to say you can't have so much that you could sell it. That's clear. And then you talked about the dispensary centers, and that's your expertise, really. And there are going to be about 35 in the state of Massachusetts. Already, Jig Patel, you may not know this, there have been some pushback in communities about not wanting to have the centers there. And possibly that has to do with the fact that as they look around the country, California particularly, the way that dispensaries were set up, not done well, or feeling as though they overwhelmed the communities. Right. What is it that you tell people who are interested in setting up a dispensary about how to, if you will, be a part of the community, have this be kind of normal as opposed to something that sticks out?
No, absolutely. I mean, California is definitely the Wild West. But we tell our clients and people here to definitely reach out to community leaders, the local community organizations, and to educate them, because this is still new to the people of and the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. They just don't know. I mean, they passed the vote by a large amount, but they just, some of them have that, you know, fear of having it in their towns and neighborhoods. But we tell our clients to reach out, to talk to people, educate people, tell them what they're trying to do, tell them it's just for, the bottom line is, it's to help patients. That's what this is for. So
What does a well-run dispensary look like? Give us some of the elements that must be in place so that anybody looking at a dispensary could say, okay, this is where I want to interact as a patient and as a caregiver and as a provider, for that matter.
I mean, it all depends on the dispensary not-for-profit organization. Some people want a full wellness center where they do puncture massages and the whole the wellness aspect fit. Some people just want to dispense their medical marijuana, and some of them they just look like a normal doctor's office. You go in, you check into the front. If it's your first time there, you give in your all information. If not, you move to the back to the waiting area, and when your turn comes, you go to another room in the back to actually get your medical marijuana.
So what you're telling people, and there's a conference in Boston to talk with people about how to set up these dispensaries. These are folks that may have some entrepreneurial bent, but they were not necessarily the healthcare field. You yourself did not come from the healthcare. No. Talk a little bit about how you got into this business.
Well, I myself, I was in the hotel industry. I just moved from New York about 6-7 months ago to look to do something new. And this just came together. I wanted to do something new, and this is been exciting. This is something really, something I never thought I would be getting into. But
why is it exciting?
It's just ever-changing. And then every time I tell people that, I work for a medical marijuana consulting company, they just get, wow, how is that? It's just something new. But people are, of course, fearful of what it is and the stigma. I tell my family, and then some of them are taken aback. But, I tell them, just like any person, to educate them, it's just a business, And just the bottom line is just to help patients. And that's what is fulfilling to me at the end of the day. We're trying to reach the people that actually need it and help people.
I'm speaking with Jig Patel. He's a partner at DispensaryPermits.com. It's a medical marijuana consulting firm. And he's here in Boston talking with folks who are exploring the possibility of being owners of dispensaries. Those would be dispensaries that have been approved by the law that went into effect January 1st, where patients could go to pick up their supply of medical marijuana. Something that I think is interesting reading over the law and the details, medical marijuana is not prescribed. You can get a note from your doctor that assures the person at the dispensary that you are in fact a patient and you in fact need this, but it's not as prescription as you would think of other prescription drugs.
Yeah, it's just a recommendation by a doctor. Mm-hmm. Because it's digitally, they can't really prescribe it. I mean, doctors will be held liable for that. So they recommend, after looking at a patient's complete medical history, that it exhausted all, medical practices, that we recommend medical marijuana. That's how that works.
And for people who are not aware, I know some people have heard of the relief for glaucoma patients, but we're talking a variety of illnesses, including ALS and other illnesses. So, and it's proven, this is documented, that this does work for folks, in case people are thinking, yeah, this is just recreational, which is the fear, Jig Patel, that a lot of people have, that outfits like a dispensary will somehow turn into a backdoor legalized personal use marijuana, as opposed to a business that is set up to accommodate those folks who are coming to get some relief.
Yeah, that's the people's fear. But I mean, the dispensaries that work and don't, of course, get shut down, are the people that operate it on the up and up. Just reach out to patients. Don't do, have any shortage, shrinkage, report everything. And that's what it's for medical use only right now. And then all our thing are encountering, they are looking at that aspect only. They don't want to be like, oh, I'm going to sell it on the side or whatnot. No, it's all about the patients from every client, surprisingly, and, gladfully so, yeah.
Jig Patel, do you think that a lot of the folk that are coming to hear what you have to say, and others, other experts in this field, are wanting to make certain that they don't become what California has now become, which is, chock-a-block next door to each other about, dispensaries. They're more than Starbucks, actually. Just a visual. This is not, I'm not making up that stat. That is true.
It's going to be the state of Massachusetts Department of Health are going to bring down the laws and regulations. And, I hope they consult with all the experts in the industry in Arizona and New Jersey. And they should just look at what's worked in other states, in New Jersey, Arizona, whatnot, and what hasn't worked in other states, and just keep it out.
Do you think this can be very lucrative for the state in general?
Absolutely.
Mm. What are you talking? Give me some numbers up front.
I mean, not only just the tax issues, but for the local communities, a lot of these not-for-profits set up, community ties, giving philanthropy to the community and the neighborhoods. So those are all benefits of medical marijuana. I mean, it creates jobs. A lot of storefronts I see around, this area in Essex County, Middlesex County, all over, and they're empty. A lot of warehouses that have been empty for the last 5, 6, 7 years that could be a potential site for a cultivation site or dispensary site,
So it could be lucrative both for the state and for the individual business person if done well.
If done well, yes. I think it works for everybody, for sure.
All right. Jig Patel, he's a partner at DispensaryPermits.com, a medical marijuana consulting firm. And to learn more about them and their upcoming Green Rush conference, go to WGBHnews.org/BPR. Jig Patel, thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
We're going to continue the conversation with an explainer on medical marijuana. Where do you get it? Is it covered by insurance? Remember, Jig Patel's dispensaries are not yet set up. If not, what does it cost? We'll cover all of those issues and more. I'm Callie Crossley. This is 89.7 WGBH, Boston Public Radio.